This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SCORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Hey, we got a special guest in the house, the Bug.
Audrey's the dog.
The cutest little rascal in the whole wide world. I know. He's a good dog. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Imperial Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep. You know, I hate doing this commercial because every time I do this commercial, I want to drive out there.
I just did.
And I want to buy a T-Rex. But I want to buy a T-Rex. And I know they'll give me a screaming deal. I know they won't mark it up.
We can take it out to Superstition and
I gotta sell
drive it around.
I got to sell everything I own to get one of those. But these guys, if you didn't hear it, they don't mark anything up, folks. And that is the cool thing about Imperial Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They're open on Saturdays and Sundays. The parts department is during the desert season, so you can get yourself out of a jam if necessary. Go to IVCDJR.com, IVCDJR.com. Tell them thanks again for supporting SDORC Dirt Radio. We appreciate it. Alpha Site Logistics. If you're getting ready to have an event out in the desert, you're going to need portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and many more services. Well, guess what? These guys do it better than anybody. 760-352-8383. You know, the Bureau of Land Management has authorized them. You know, everybody out there has. So don't try to reinvent the wheel. Alpha Site Logistics. Catch them on Facebook at Alpha Site Logistics. All right. I know I seen you in the desert.
I was in the desert.
I didn't see you in a buggy, so I was happy to see that.
I did not get into any vehicles.
But I looked for dust, and I didn't see any dust on your face, so I figured you must not have.
Nope.
What are you doing?
We have our caller.
Oh, we have a guy on the phone. I think Brandon Short is on the phone.
It would have been nice to tell the host.
You were on the email.
What email?
Text message yesterday.
The text message. I'm sorry.
Brandon from Supercross is joining
us. Let's talk to
on
him.
Air.
Really?
Are you there, Brandon?
We don't have Brandon on the line. You guys are so full of it, you squeak.
We think he's on the line.
No, he's not.
We invited San Diego Supercross media representative Brandon Short to call in the show to talk about Supercross.
Yeah, well, guess what? You have to do it.
Now I got to talk about it. San Diego Supercross is coming.
Well, let's give
in
him a minute to see if he does call in. We could talk about what we did this weekend instead, because the Off-Road Coalition was out in the desert this weekend.
We were in three places, and we were spread thin. Right?
Yeah.
Because Audrey was at the dunes cleanup.
Not to change the subject, but it... 3 o'clock, Sean Brennan, PR manager for Monster Energy Supercross, will be calling in. Daniel Blair. Do we have him on the line?
Daniel Blair.
Do we have him on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Daniel. Okay, there you are.
Ah, hey, Daniel. How are you?
Come over here and straighten out these two desert rats out. They're all confused. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Too long in the desert.
It sounds like it. No, I'm doing great. Honestly, excited to get out to San Diego to the beautiful, dry, and sunny San Diego. That's what I'm hoping.
Excuse me.
Dry and dusty.
Monster Trucks had the best mud bath last night than you could shake a stick at. Dude, it was so bad.
I saw that.
So, hey, do you know Sean Brennan?
Oh, I know Sean Brennan.
Well, he's going to be on my motorsport show here on 3 o'clock. So guess what? You get double duty this weekend. But, hey, that's what's cool about Monster Energy. I mean, you guys have just taken the banner when it comes to not just any motorsports, but all kinds of motorsports. All right, talk about your motorcycles. See, I got my shirt on. What are you complaining about?
So tell us about the San Diego Supercross. What's going on?
Yeah, he wants to know if old people can get into it.
Yes, it's open to everybody. It's that's what the beauty of Supercross. It's for kids and all the way up to as long as you want to be into it. So, no, it's going to be good. A little change up this year. We're at Snapdragon Stadium. So that's new but kind of old. I actually raced back in Qualcomm back in the day, so I'm familiar out with that vibe out there. That's where I raced most of my career. So I feel like it's pretty cool to get back out there. But, yeah, just coming in, it's now round two of the championship, and things kicked off in Anaheim pretty spectacular. So, yeah, ready to roll on in.
I think you'll like Snapdragon. Have you been to Snapdragon yet?
Not the inside, no.
There is no inside. I mean, it's like I
drove around the outside of the parking lot, but I didn't go inside.
I think it'll be the best thing that ever happened for Supercross because there's no bad seats. There's no overhangs. There's nothing. I mean, it's like an old school college football stadium where you guys will have a huge amount of track area where everybody will be able to get all kinds of advantages wherever they sit.
Yeah, and that's perfect tie-in to the track design, too. I mean, I'm still like a racer at heart, so whenever the track designs come out every year, I always go and look and see what they're like. The opener in Anaheim was like really, really good design. So San Diego, I've already looked at it. And yeah, we're going to use up the floor nicely. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be a really good track design, I think, to round two.
So tell the folks, who were the highlights? Who are the people we should be watching for? Any surprises, you know, that are in the backfield that are moving their way up? Or any of the old pros, who do you think people should really keep their eye out for?
Wow. Well, typically, January, usually it's kind of a mess. Like, it seems like everyone is still at the stage where they believe they got a shot at it. So the results are usually all over the place. But at Anaheim at the opening round, Eli Tomac, he's like pretty much the only all-timer in the field right now. He's accomplished everything there is to accomplish. He comes out and wins the opener, which is he's never done that before. So as crazy as you would like to start a season, he kind of came out and just said, I'm still the guy that's going to come through me. So that was interesting to watch. And then there's a couple guys that are going to be, you know, really right in the mix with him. Chase Sexton, he won San Diego last year. He was really good at Anaheim. He should be in the fight. And then two-time champ, Cooper Webb, he seems to be back in his, like, good form. When he's on his best, he's a championship contender. So it's kind of steady at the top, which is weird. But then the 250 class is kind of the wild class, so that one should be a little more out of control. But 450s, it looks kind of stable coming in round two, which is different.
So what do you see?
Dave's looking at me. Yeah. So at the Anaheim race, there were six lead changes. There was a lot of action at the front.
Did you go?
I watched it on the big television. And it was really great. You didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know who was going to win. I mean, I didn't think Malcolm Stewart was going to really be up there, and he led that race for a few
laps.
Malcolm Stewart led for a while.
Because he's been kind of down in the lower ranks for a while there.
He's been creeping up. Last year he got on the podium.
What do you think caused him to make this change?
I think steady.
Better equipment?
Well, he's got a good bike. He's got the Husqvarna. But everybody has a good bike in there. But I think steady improvement, and I don't think it hurts to listen to your brother, who's, in my book, he's a GOAT. He's as much of the greatest of all time
as
Ricky Carmichael. Yeah. I mean, that guy was so much faster than everybody else. But Cooper Webb, like when we were watching the race at Anaheim, nobody really focused on Webb. He like slowly, methodically moved up as people fell off, and he got second place.
Wow.
He got a strong second.
So this is going to be a great series, don't you guys?
We don't know. I'm a big fan of Jason Anderson. I love his style. He is a loose rider. Like, whether his jersey is flapping in the wind or his tire is sliding to the side.
Or he's flapping in the wind.
He may be. I really like his style. And he was pretty strong also. So it's going to be
a great season.
The reason they have races is to see who's best, and we're not going to find out.
Yeah.
So is San Diego going to be a wet or dry race?
It's looking good right now. They're really good about this type of thing. As long as a crazy weather pattern doesn't really come through all week of and on race day, they could pull it off. They've done that before. But right now it's looking sunny Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday without any clouds or anything. So no, I think we're in for
that's
pretty
lucky.
Much perfect.
So last night was canceled.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Are you guys going to pull the Monster Jam dirt out and put your own dirt in?
I think, okay, so every location's different.
Yeah.
What I think is that what's there is like the base, and then there's more that will be created
right.
on top.
Yeah.
They'll air it all out
gotcha.
And make sure it hardens, then build on top. I think that's what they're going to do.
Is this going to be an exciting weekend or what? After all this rain, nobody knows what that track is going to be like, no matter what you think you're doing to it. Nobody's going to know.
Yeah, and that's the fun part, too, right, is wondering. And then when you get there, you finally get to see practice, and you're like, oh, that's the kind of day we're going to have. So, yeah, it's a challenge for them, but at the same time, they're the best at it, and hopefully it's just a completely dry, normal race, because it'd be good to see these guys go at it at full strength.
Can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, cool.
We're going to have a couple commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you know I'm going to throw you up against Sean and say, you know, Sean, I had this really good guy on my off-road show. Let's see how well you can do. All right. Oh, look, he's not saying nothing. He doesn't.
We'll be right back with Daniel.
Come on, we're up for the challenge. Right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Fire and ice, heating and air, man. I tell you, family owned and operated by the Ashley family. They've been doing this since, what, back in the 80s. So if you're looking for a good quality family-owned service that'll take care of all your heating and air, then those are the folks you need to call. Go to fireandicehvac.com. Tell them thanks for supporting our show. We really do appreciate it. Guess what? If you already got another estimate, don't panic. Give them a call. They'll come out. And if they can beat it, they will. If not, they'll pat you on the back and say good luck. Also, Wayne Miller's Tire. Latest news is they've moved up from just selling tires. They do alignments, brakes, shocks, suspension, engine, tune-ups, you name it. If it's under the hood, they'll hook you up. That's Wayne Miller's Tire. And remember, any tire from a golf cart to a semi, they can hook you up. Maybe even a monster truck. That might even be a cool thing to do. Who's our special guest?
We got Daniel from the Supercross. So, you know, in the old days, in the Qualcomm days, one of the great parts of going to the races, the Supercross, was the tailgating in the parking lot.
Yep.
I would walk through the parking lot. I'd see all these people I know, because I'm an old motocross guy, dirt bike guy. And I'd see people. I'd talk. It was just really great. So we moved to Petco, and there's no tailgating at Petco. Like, parking is hard.
Oh, because it was off-site. The pits and everything were off-site.
Yeah. So they had an area for the pits, but for people coming in, a lot of people came in on the trolley.
But I think you're going to get that.
So they'll be
Snapdragon.
Snapdragon should have. I'm looking forward to going early and walking through.
That was one of my favorite things. You used to always go to all the riders. You'd get their poster, have them sign
it. They all have merch.
Yep.
T-shirts, hats, because that's really one of the side products.
It's super expensive to compete, and gear is expensive.
Yeah, you know that Monster Energy guy, they need to write a bigger check.
It's fun to meet
so
the
we
riders.
Get Ed out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get AARP to sponsor you. Wouldn't that be cool?
Ben Gay.
Yeah, Ben Gay.
Yeah.
Advil.
Okay. Advil.
Ace Bandage.
Daniel, are you taking notes?
Yeah,
you
taking notes,
Dave. I am. I'm preparing myself as well.
Hey, I can hook you up on PR, because I got all kinds of crazy ways to bring money into the. But you know what? We were talking off air. One of the things Supercross does not, and I don't hope this doesn't affect your job, you guys don't really have to promote. The fan base is so big that everybody knows where you're going before anybody else knows where you're going. Am I right?
I would say the core of the fan base is pretty solid. That is true.
And it's huge.
They know what's up.
Dude, it's huge. It's not like a couple hundred people, a couple thousand people. I mean, it's huge. Everybody follows you guys like crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, Anaheim just a couple weeks ago was wall-to-wall, maybe the loudest I've ever heard personally in that stadium. I know there's been a couple other ones, but the fan base is strong right now, and that's because the sport's in a really good spot. There's a lot of really, really talented riders that are sticking around a little longer than normal. I mean, into their late 20s and 30s, which I know that sounds crazy, but that's kind of a little on the older side for Supercross. And so the racecraft is like at its best right now, I think. So, the sport's in good shape, and just people are pumped to be there. And obviously the broadcast side is fun, and I think they do a great job, but live just nothing really touches it. So opening ceremonies, I mean, from start to finish, it's pretty incredible. And yeah, it's in a healthy spot right now.
I think the fact that the motorcycle manufacturers have built bikes that are kind of not just a level where now it's not so much the bike, it's the rider.
Right. There's a lot of parity.
Yeah, because
even Roxanne on the Suzuki is looking really good.
You put Roxanne on a freaking
on my moped.
On
that's
a moped,
right.
And he'll look good. See that? I think Supercross brings talent out better than pretty much any other sport that I cover on, even on my racer radio show. Don't you agree, Daniel?
Well, I'm obviously going to agree strongly with that. Former racer and now part of the sport. Yes, I'll take that. But I know what you're saying is the machines are so good now. The training is so good.
Yeah.
It's almost like they've maximized everything you could do to have the upper hand.
Yeah.
So now they all have it, and now the equalizer is who has the talent and who has the mental side where they're just stronger than the rest. So you're right. It's very equal right now as far as the chance to be great. Yeah. So, I mean, the parity is awesome, but the guys that break through are the ones that just are a little more special.
Yeah, and just think of all the kids that haven't got to that level yet that could possibly be the best of the best of the best, the Brock Glovers of the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're out there. I mean, there's some little guy or some little girl, and I don't have a problem bringing up a girl, there's somebody out there that's got stupid talent that if gets promoted properly, holy mackerel.
Daniel, will there be the kids thing, the kids on little KTMs at the race?
Ooh, I'm not 100% sure on this one. I don't have it in front of me. I know they were at Anaheim 1. I know they're at the next Anaheim, but I'm not sure on this one.
Yeah, wait.
I know they do 11 of them, though. They do 11 total across the season.
But I bet if people go to supercross.com or MonsterEnergy/supercross, they'll probably be able to find that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to be here this coming weekend?
Yeah, flying in on Friday, and then ready for a great day of racing Saturday. And again, the live show is incredible for everybody in the area that hasn't been to Supercross. Got to check it out. But for those who are maybe on the outside or busy on the weekend, we put on a great TV show too. We have qualifying.
Right.
It's on Peacock at, I think, 1:00. And then of course the racing starts at 7:00 on Peacock as well. So, it's a great spot for the sport right now. Again, the live performances are insane right now, but the TV coverage is doing well too. So we're in a good spot, man.
When do you leave next weekend? Do you fly out Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
What time?
Ooh, I don't even know yet.
I'm thinking about inviting you to radio.
Yeah, 12 to 1. We're on radio.
12 to 1. You could bring your suitcases and just drive right from here to the airport. It's only like 20 minutes from here. Just think about it. You'll do
a schedule.
Yeah.
I know I have it somewhere. I just don't know exactly when I leave. I go day by day.
You just go where they tell you. Daniel, go this way. Daniel, go that way. Daniel, they go this way.
That's right.
All right. So have they done anything rule change to Supercross, say, from last year? Or are they pretty much staying with the same rule packages from the different classes?
Yeah. There is one, I would say, big one that hasn't really been discussed too much yet, which is the 250 point out rule. They used to have a kind of a complicated system where depending on how many points you get each year, you could point yourself out of the class and never come back. Oh. And they got rid of that to where now it's just by winning a championship. If once you win the championship, I think you get a year to defend and then you're gone no matter what. But otherwise, you can stay in that class a lot longer than normal. They've kind of normalized that rule. So that's a big change this year.
And you mean by gone, they're just moved up to the next
to the 450
level,
class.
To the next
shocked.
Class.
Yep. They
right?
kill them.
I just, you know.
450 without the ability to come back.
Which is totally different than, let's say, NASCAR, because you could win the championship in Xfinity, go to next, the big guys, but then go back and try to win another championship. But you know what? I think I like the way Supercross is doing it because it keeps that youth able to grow within and not be, I know everybody says, well, it's great to follow a champion. Well, no, go follow him at Walmart. Keep the racing to where the kids have that carrot out in front of them with nobody getting in the way.
Yeah, they could prove themselves.
I agree. I think once you win a championship in that class, you've proven that you could handle half a season.
Yeah.
And then you go 450 where you have to go full season, and I think you shouldn't be able to look back. But other than that, if you can't win a championship there, I think you should be able to stay and keep fighting for it.
Okay, so let me ask you this as an old guy. I've had this question asked to me, and I just don't know. Why does Supercross stop at 450?
What do you mean? A CC engine?
Yeah.
Well, they...
Wait a minute. Let me see if Daniel might have that answer.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, I don't know if you'll like mine.
Sure I will.
I think the 450s are a little too much, if we're being honest. I wish they would come back down to 350 or even just go to like an unlimited 250. So
That's the direction I was going as well, and that's kind of why I asked that question. And what do you think, Ed? 450? You think they should go higher? 650?
So before the limit was 450, it was 550 for four strokes.
Yeah.
And KTM entered a 550 and actually was the first four-stroke in the modern era to get into a Supercross main event. I have a 450. It is an extremely powerful bike. I got a Husqvarna FC 450. Mm-hmm. It's a hard bike to ride wide open. Even out in the desert on a big sand hill, the only place I can hold that thing on at high revs and full throttle is a big sand hill. So I agree that 450s are an awful lot of motorcycle. Okay. And it wouldn't bother me if they lowered the CC a little bit.
Do you think, are you talking about injuries? Or are you just talking about too much horsepower?
The weight of the bike, the power of the bike. You've got to think about when you're in that, you're racing, you have those same loops that you're doing over and over. The jumps that you got to get, you have to hit it just right. You got to control that bike. Yeah. You got to land it as it is. And maneuvering your body, I mean, you got to be in the top shape.
When they made 450 the size engine, that was before they were highly developed. And they thought that was going to be the size they needed to be able to go around the track.
Yeah.
And it turns out that 450 development went way up. And
okay.
And the, kind of the cat's out of the bag. It'd be hard to
Well, Daniel, to I'll throw that. You in this. I don't know if you're a drag racer, but look what they did when everybody and her mother ran quarter mile, right? Well, then the development got so big and so powerful, they brought them to eighth mile.
Yeah.
And the hardcore NHRA guys and girls are still kicking and screaming because they want to go that quarter mile. Do you kind of see that same mentality in Supercross?
Yeah, I mean, as far as tradition goes, I honestly wouldn't see it changing now. I think that, and I don't think it's a bad product. I think Supercross is amazing.
No.
I'm totally good with it. I just think for me as a fan and a former racer, on a 250, you can't make as many mistakes because the power can't pull you out of trouble as much, which means you have to be more precise. You also have to be a little bit more aware with your racing because if you leave the door open, someone will block you. On a 450, you could kind of play defense and then just use the power to pull yourself out of trouble or pull yourself out of defense. So I just think for racing and racecraft, the 250 class is always a little bit more wild because the racing is more difficult on a 250. The 450 just saves the riders, I think, too much. So for me, it's just pure racecraft. I like the littler bike better.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you say that because when I watch Supercross, I will not miss the 250s because those guys and girls,
they're getting it.
They are getting it. I mean, and there is no – because they know they got to make up.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is with pure, unadulterated – talent. Are we going to keep him again, or are we going to throw him out?
Let's move on. We got
Daniel,
our weekends to talk
this
about.
This has been a blast talking to you.
All good.
And we're always here for you. And like I said, Audrey, did you line this interview up or did
no,
you?
No, Ed did.
I did.
Next weekend.
I'll have Ed send you information on what I do, because what we can also do, not that you need it, but you can also come to KUSI TV, which is number one in San Diego, prior to any races in San Diego. It's free of charge. Put some bikes on the patio, which you'll just, you know, sell out, you know, wherever you're racing, hands
down. That really works. That makes a difference.
Yeah, Ed and Audrey can tell you, because I've been doing TV here in town for 22 years, and nobody else covers it the way I do.
Nope.
So we look forward to working with you down the road, brother.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
PRMI Mortgage, you need to check these guys out, 619-722-1303. Chris Wiley is an expert when it comes to mortgages, refis, buying a home, selling a home. Anytime you need any help whatsoever, go with the pro. Been doing it for over 30 years. Military, he's got special deals for you. Help you with your VA loans. He can just do it all. Call him, 619-722-1303. Tell him when you get a hold of him that thank you for sponsoring STORC Dirt Radio. Also, SNS Off-Road Magazine. Go to SSORMAG.com. Steve and Sherry have been supporting the off-road community for more years than we care to admit. It's all right there. Contests, photo contests, riding abilities, classifies. I mean, it's all right there. So if you're in the off-road, or if you're new and you've never, you know, been off-road before, you've never been to the desert, SSORMAG.com. Check them out. So how was your event last night or yesterday? Did you get any rain?
Huge success. Not during really? The event, but once the event ended, the rain the good came Lord in said, at about
okay, let's wash
4:30.
Everything off.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's yeah. The same with us at Corva.
It was about 4:30 that it started raining.
But you had a good,
in Gordon's
had a good event.
And Ogilby in about 5:30 about Glamis in Vendor Row.
What's it like when it rains out there?
Just like it
rains at your house.
Yeah. Okay. the sand just gets a little bit hard, you know.
Harder.
It has a little bit of a hard top to it as you walk across it. It's a little bit nicer.
Crunch.
Yeah.
A little crunch to it.
Yeah.
So are you guys at the same event or two different events?
No. Different events.
Yeah.
And you know, it's on my bucket list to go to Glamis after a hard rain. And ride my motorcycle in the dunes.
You haven't done that?
It just is so nice.
I've been to Superstition, but I've not never been to Glamis.
There's no issues getting anywhere. You got to be very careful.
How deep is the crunch?
Not very deep because there's not that much rain. So if it flashed floods today, which is what it's supposed to do out there, then you'll have a deep crust. It'll be like an inch and a half.
You know
crust.
Where Ed's going after
but,
the show.
Yeah, well, that'll be tomorrow, Tuesday.
Are you off tomorrow?
Yes.
It's a holiday.
I am off, yes.
You ought to go.
All right, let's
you
go.
You can't.
Pack up and go to the dunes. It's free.
I'm not allowed to go.
What part of you can't did you not understand?
It's been very hard because I keep saying, oh, yeah, let's go do that. Oh, yeah, no, I can't.
How are you feeling? Guys. Pretty good?
So sore. I soaked for an hour and 20 minutes this morning.
You didn't do anything.
Walking in the sand. Just walking in the sand. I couldn't
jacuzzi.
Move.
You need a jacuzzi.
I know.
Right outside your bedroom door.
We had over 100 people sign the waiver. I forget how many exactly. I walked away and I didn't get the last little final count of it. We did, I believe, over 8 truckloads of trash because we didn't have the flatbed, so we just did truckloads through. And that was out of Rob's truck. Then another couple had theirs.
So what part of the dunes were you at?
I staged in San Diego Off-Road Coalition has covered the Gordon's Wells main stage for 21 years is what Norm and
That's
I figured
Dune Buggy
out.
Flats?
That's Dune Buggy Flats at Gordon's Wells where San Diego Off-Road Coalition set up with South Coast RV, 928 Elite Motorsports.
Just your area had that much trash?
Just
or the whole
area.
Dunes?
No, the whole dunes had way more trash than that. There was a guy out in the washes that pulled a burnt car out of the washes. They towed an entire, like it literally burnt on the rims and he hooked it up to his truck and they strapped
it
up and they
drug
it out from the washes down to the dumpsters.
Did you know what all those chemicals?
They filled a full 40-yard roll-off at the Glamis Flats behind the Glamis Beach store.
Yeah.
So as you brought your trash back there, some people took it just straight to the row of dumpsters and there's like 20 dumpsters in that row of dumpsters and those got full. I want to say over half of those were completely full yesterday. And then they filled a 40-yard roll-off at Glamis Flats. So that was where Glamis Veterans, American Sand Association, and Lands United Gateway had all set up and staged there with a couple of their sponsors and stuff. Sand Asylum hit the flagpole. Dune and Destroy split between the swing set as well as they covered Oldsmobile Hill. Mm-hmm. They had pretty much every single spot
covered.
Gecko Road had the Gecko Road camp host Tom Gell at it. The Drags had a player. Like every area in the dunes.
Had somebody at the drags?
Had somebody at the drags. You had Buttercup, had Liberty Motorsports. Midway had 9280 Elite Garages.
Wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
So let me be a little devil's advocate here, because you know I like to do that on occasion.
Yes.
Because the community does so much cleanup, and we don't see a downside to the trash.
Oh, we do.
Do you really? Because I'm thinking, do the trash people say, well, why bother taking it back? These guys will do it.
No, I mean, I don't think that that's what, I think, you know, honestly, it's just the newbies. I don't know.
It is hard to tell who's putting the trash out there.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. As hard as you guys work, you know, to clean the areas, and you guys bring in tons of garbage.
Yeah.
And you wait 3 weeks, and guess what? You're back out doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
Go to different areas.
Yeah, maybe. But you guys covered a lot this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. How much did you pull in?
I went to Corvus Truck Haven Challenge. I didn't go to the dunes. I was...
But were you cleaning over there?
No, it was a poker run.
Lizard. Played and she worked.
No, I hosted a checkpoint. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll let you slide then.
Yeah, he worked the checkpoint.
I ran a checkpoint. We had a lot of fun. A lot of people came through.
Did we game?
We did. It was karaoke? Like two games in one. First, you had to walk the plank. I had 2x6s up on 4x4s. Yeah. You had to walk 3 of those. And then at the end, you got a Nerf gun, and you had to shoot the targets.
Oh, cool. That does sound like fun.
Yeah. A lot of fun. Corva had about, 170, 180 registrations yesterday for poker hands sold.
We had a respectable crowd out there.
That's an excellent crowd for a poker run for them.
How cool is that?
Club called Trail Masters. They provide dinner. So we like the people buy dinner, and then Trail Masters donates all that money to Corva. They have a huge raffle, it went on and on, all the great prizes. 2 Warren winches. All kind of stuff. SDRC donated some whip flags, which was kind of fun. I went by and picked up stuff. So when I was picking up the stuff, your mom happened to be out walking the dog, and I parked at the bottom.
Dee Dee, my cousin.
Oh, it was Dee Dee?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell who.
I
walked up in the dark, and the flashlight goes on me. Who is that? I'm like, oh my God, am I going to get shot?
We told all the neighbors that we weren't going to be there this weekend, and the parents are out of town right now. So I told TD, I'm like, expect Ed between this time, and then expect Rob between this time, and that should be it at my house.
They didn't pay any attention.
Anybody else
up
is
against
at my house,
the wall, skinny.
Pull out a gun.
I was nervous.
I would be too.
When that flashlight turned on. So it was a lot of fun, all the people coming through. And Corva gets some people with crazy vehicles, like big tires.
Oh, really?
Like all the neat stuff done to them. That, like, way gnarlier vehicles than Lost Lizard gets. It's a different group. So one fun thing, and I'm a Corva director, by the way.
I disagree with that, just so you know.
I think we get
some pretty awesome vehicles.
I'm not saying we don't get awesome vehicles, but just like the highly capable with the big tires and all. Oh my God! This Volkswagen that was like twice as
challenge. Should we have a KUSI challenge?
Oh, that would be fun. Like,
bring the biggest and the baddest, and then we'll give an award to whoever's the KUSI best.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I think that would be awesome.
Turn it into a fundraiser.
I have ones that could compete right now.
Yeah, because if you go out there and say, by the way, we were talking to these guys over at this other one, they said you guys don't have nothing compared to them.
Yeah.
And their little danders would get all flustered and their little tail feathers will wiggle. And
oh, it'd be amazing.
We could have fun, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too.
So at the raffle, some of the guys from the Jeep Club, Tierra del Sol, a four-wheel drive club, they got up and they announced they were donating money to Corva. They donated $10,000 to Corva. They had
strong.
One of those giant checks, like the
That's
one we got.
Amazing. Oh, yeah, big
cardboard. It was really great.
They did the same thing for us. So Tierra del Sol 4x4 Club puts on the Desert Safari on March 4th, coming up soon, out in Ocotillo Wells.
That's
They usually pull in. Yep, that's
he's already
Bo
got my. He's already
that's
got a
Bo
date.
And a bunch
Have
of
I got
guys.
This guy?
February 26th, baby. He already texted me. We'll be on KUSI.
On you know what he asked
he's
for?
He's going to come in radio.
He asked 6 months prior.
That's perfect.
He wants
to make sure he's in.
Well, before
he's a planner.
Before he never. He'd always wait till the very end, and I'd have to wiggle a way to get him in.
He must have got a new calendar. Oh,
but
let's fill it in.
But hats off to KUSI, because I don't know any other station, and I wish there would. I wish Fox 8, 10, 39 would jump on board and help support keeping our deserts, you know, open and clean.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? Well, you got a lot of paperwork here. Well,
I got a couple of things. The Sierra National Forest, it's a big national forest. I think there's 19 national forests in California. So this is a 1.4 million acre forest. Two Democrat lawmakers, Congressman Jackie Speary and Jerry McNerney, have introduced legislation to turn the forest into a national monument. Into a national monument. They've introduced the Range of Light National Monument Act to designate 1.4 million acres of federal land as a monument, quote, to protect the environment and ecological stability of these lands for future generations.
Which, that just blows my mind, because if anybody's been to the Sierra National Forest, it's managed so well.
There's off-road routes in there, but it's not like it's littered with them. There's not a lot of routes.
Are they talking about closing the off-road routes?
They would close the routes.
Yeah.
They talk about logging. They want to stop logging. The only logging that can take place there is individuals can get a permit to get a few cords of wood for fallen
right.
Yeah. Has to be dead and fallen.
Same as here in the Cleveland.
Removing fuel load. That's reducing the fuel, and we know about wildfires.
Obviously, we want that.
And they're talking about mining. Well, there's a few active mines, and those are like a guy with a shovel doing his own mine. That's not like heavy.
That's an active miner.
All right, so we can talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by the Wise Ox Butcher Shop and Pantry. Check these guys out. The Wise Ox Butcher Shop is a great place to go if you're looking to feed the family, or maybe you're having a tailgate party, or you want the best of the best, because they've got it all. Everything from premium beef, heritage pork, free-range chickens. They got two locations, but my recommendation is just Google Wise Ox Butcher Shop and Pantry.com. All right.
It makes me want to fill it. Philly cheesesteak.
I know you had
there.
One the other day too. With the creamy horseradish.
The roast beef with the horseradish, that was amazing. So we were talking about the Range of Light National Monument, and these two congressmen have introduced a bill to make the Sierra National Forest into a national monument. And I understand President Biden has been thinking about it also, Well, there's a lot of problems with that. So Audrey and I, we deal with three different agencies in California that manage land for off-roading. There's state parks, there's a Bureau of Land Management, and there's the National Forests. And of the three, the National Forests are the hardest to do business with.
They have the most protections. Regulations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have most regulations, the most problems. So
overly managed, most restrictions.
Hardest to do stuff
hard to do anything in.
Goodness gracious. Oh, you want to use a little bobcat to move some hay bales from here to there? It causes problems.
You want to use a chainsaw? You need to be certified.
So the Sierra National Forest is already well protected, and these people are trying to close it down even further. And I looked up the off-road vehicle routes there, and there's not that many. There's about 15 routes, and they don't have a lot of miles for all their routes.
Well, you mean
Corral Canyon has a lot more miles.
There's got to be a lot more than that in 1.4 acres. I mean, I think you just meaning green sticker maybe? Because I mean, even the green sticker, you got Bald Mountain, you've got a couple of other ones. I think there's got to be more than 15 routes.
I just Googled OHV and Sierra National Forest, and I just found a list of about 15 routes or so with a few miles per route. There may be more that I don't know, but that's what I saw. And when they make a national monument, they review all the routes, and there's a strong chance that the routes will either be closed or be turned into street legal only.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we face in every part of it. When you do the NEPA and they do whatever else. I mean, you're watching the Western Mojave right now with that, because if the trails that have been on the ground for 50, 75 years, they're not on a map, but they've been there, but because it doesn't matter if they're not on the map, they're going to be decommissioned.
And they're just automatically closed.
Yeah, they're just automatically closed. What's going to happen with this? I mean, that just, it blows my mind. We went up to, Sherman Pass, not too long ago. We took my Jetta up to the top of the mountains.
Like
5 years ago. We went up to the top of Sherman Pass. We went up to the top of the horse track. We went on some fire road trail that just ended up, we ended up 20 miles
in
over
your car?
Yeah, on some crazy and to, that's not on any map. It wasn't on the map
and there's a road
and we just kept going. Oh man, absolutely amazing. And it would devastate me. Absolutely devastate me to know that they're looking at closing these areas
what
off.
What good is closing this? Like, was there a lot of traffic up there?
None.
Was there a lot of like impact from vehicles?
No.
No, hardly.
No,
all.
No,
so
but
I
that
don't know
trail
what these
was
people.
Was not used. I was worried going through it with the center part of it grown over and us in the car, because I had a low car. So,
just,
you know, there was just getting, because it was a dirt road that just went across the top of the mountains, all through the Sierra National Forest on the top of the Sierra Mountains. Like, I don't know. That would be absolutely devastating to me.
It's crazy. And you know what they'll do is, even if they know it's not going to pass, because now the Congress, the House of Representatives has a Republican majority, so this will be hard to get through. But what they'll do, they'll introduce it each term, and then at some point in the future, the political climate will be ripe that this can go through, and it'll have been worked on for a lot of years, and then all of a sudden, now we can.
So this is an act that was submitted into legislation by Democrats, right? So
yes.
Tell me this now, because I'm getting confused it's been a long weekend. So tell me this. So is this the same as the president naming it a national monument?
This is a different
thing. So this is different.
They're looking at doing the same thing with two different ways.
So what I heard with the Blue Ribbon Coalition was it's President Biden's administration that wants to name this. And so that's what the Blue Ribbon
Biden
Coalition
does it. He'll be using
different.
the Antiquities Act.
The Antiquities Act. And they had
using that act, he will be designating. And I didn't know you could designate a national forest like that. I thought that was only for the Bureau of Land Management, like undesignated land of the BLM.
They will
do that.
So what I'm taking away from this is that one way or another, some environmentalist out there wants this to happen. And one way or another, they're going to work the system in every which way that they can, mm-hmm. so that we need to be gearing up, because they're gonna force this to happen.
It's weird. I don't understand the motivation, what they're trying to fix or save, but I find it super frustrating.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll get it.
I grew up going to Lake Isabella. I grew up going into Kern County right there, Kern River, going above Kern River into the Sierras right there. Crossing back and forth between Inyo and the Sierras and all of that. I mean, you can go back and forth.
Which is the national forest north of Lake Isabella? Do you know which forest?
That's Sierras.
That's Sierra?
That's Sierras. So Inyo is east, right, towards Bishop. God. And then that's all Sierras.
What's that place, Kennedy Meadows?
That's Sierras.
Is that Sierra National Forest?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Sierra National Forest.
I'm not sure. Because that's a big off-road area. And I haven't been there. But like, I got friends, they go to, we're going to Kennedy Meadows. And they have a great time. There's a lot of trails. Audrey's like flipping on her phone.
I am. I got to look this up. Because that really worries me. I mean, when I got the email. Because
that would cause us to go into panic mode and like, we got to make a national war on this. I don't know.
That's what I.
So while Audrey's looking at that, looking at
that. Nestled in the High Sierras National.
It says
Sierra Nevada Mountains is what it says. Kennedy Resort.
Well, because the Sierra Nevada Mountains is a big mountain range, and there's a number of national forests in the Sierras. including the Sierra National Forest. So it's, you got to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Audrey, did you know the Rubicon Trail was closed a couple weeks ago?
Yes, I heard that it was closed a couple weeks ago.
Under a temporary weather order.
Yeah, with the amount of rain and the storm that was coming in, they were expecting it to basically wash out, overflow. They didn't want the vehicles to cross the water. So
there's a couple problems. In 2013, there was a big agreement made on conditions that could be used to close the Rubicon Trail. And those conditions have not even been analyzed. Like, they're supposed to do an analysis and then make a determination. They just closed it. So I don't disagree that it's possible it could be closed. What do you see?
Kennedy Meadows is where I was talking about where we drove the Jetta through. We drove the
Oh, you drove?
Yeah, because it's at the top. It's you take Sherman Pass, you go up to the top of the hill and the mountain right there, and that's you start at Kennedy Meadows, and then there's a trail out of that that goes. So, yes, that is the top of the Sierras.
Is that Sierra National Forest?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, boy. We got to really put this on top of our top of our agenda to work on.
When I seen that, it just broke my heart when I, you know.
What are these people thinking?
I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with that.
There is so much forest land out there that we can't get to. I mean, no, I don't walk. I can't hike
designated.
That far. There's so many millions of acres of wilderness and other designations, ACECs, areas of critical environmental concern. There's all this area. There's millions and millions of acres we can't do anything on. And so they want to turn this forest into a national monument.
Do it's you think
just
it's
crazy.
Because of 3030, Assembly Bill 3030? Do you think it's
so
because they're trying to do...
Oh, my God. That's...
That's a story for another show.
We can, we're going to break into that next week.
Become a member of SDORC, $25 annual membership, www.sdorc.org. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. Yak Radio coming up. We got Tanya and her lovely son, Jaden. Jaden never been on radio before. I think he's not 10, 11, 12 years old.
Oh, he's going to have fun.
So this ought to be a hoot show. Folks, always support SDORC. Dirt Radio, SDORC.org. Help out. Keep the deserts open.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.